How are you doing, Jack?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's Friday. I'm ready to crack open a cold one. Yeah. There we go, man. Right. Cheers, man. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I got the Monster. You got the kombucha.
I gotta stay healthy. I can't touch caffeine anymore.
Me personally, I'm a big fan of caffeine. Like I said,
you're an addict. That's like a heroin addict. Being like, I'm a big fan of heroin. I'm a big fan. Just say you're an addict.
I would confess that I am an addict because, well, you know me. I've said this multiple times, even on the podcast before, but I barely drink. I don't like to drink. I love energy. I love energy drinks. Monster, please sponsor me.
I think I pushed it too much with Monster, I would get the white Monsters because they had no sugar and they're the best Monster.
Oh yeah.
Also, that's the one that doesn't make you shit yourself. The other one that has sugar in it, it's like, give me 5 minutes and 43 seconds and I'm going to be on the shitter and I'm going to be exploding my ass off.
It makes the booty go bang bang. I mean,
it does, but I would have that with vodka and that would be such a nice drink to go out with because it was way better than Red Bull and vodka. It was a white Monster with Red Bull.
Do you remember that time when we did that, when we went away to Fool's Festival? And then we had like a fucking six pack of those.
Yeah, we had a lot of those.
And we had like a full, like,
used,
1 liter of vodka.
We used them all. We used the vodka, the Zambuca.
Yeah.
You were a big fan of Zambuca. I was not.
Oh, I like it. I mean, because it tastes like licorice.
I don't like black licorice.
I do.
I hate it. I like red licorice.
But do you remember when we had that stuff when we went to Fool's Festival?
Mm-hmm.
How good was Fool's Festival?
It was good. I missed that because I don't think we're going to get festivals in a really long time.
I think it's going to be one of the last things to come back now because it's coronavirus.
I don't know, because there's been a few bands out there. Like, did you see that guy? Who was he? He went and said, fuck this coronavirus shit, out to a crowd of people not wearing masks and all, like, in a mosh. I'm going to find out what that is.
Really?
Yeah, he went, fuck this COVID shit. And then he's out. Oh, Smash Mouth.
Oh, Smash really? Smash Mouth did that.
The front man yelled, fuck that COVID shit, as they played. And it's a huge crowd of people out there. It's a full-on concert.
No way. When was this?
It's the other day.
Really?
Yeah, it was the other day.
Where? In America?
There you go. They are. Look, there's tons of people.
Jeez.
Look, that's not social distancing, just going to be clear.
No, they're definitely not social distancing, especially in a place where they need to social distancing. Oh, a drowning pool was there. No way.
Yeah, well, they were all... Yeah, that's so weird.
Vanilla Ice came under schedule for a not-so-socially-distanced concert. Scroll down. For the weekend of 4th of July, saying we didn't have the coronavirus in the 90s.
you missed out the most crucial part. It said the concert was cancelled soon after.
Okay.
Look at them.
Dude, I miss festivals.
Also, a ton of them are old. Look. Look out.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, well, because old people are the most vulnerable. Rednecks. He's having a good time. He's having a good time. He's got he's showing off the devil horns.
The thing is, all it's got is hell young people and hella old people with the grottiest, most bogan looking beards. I know it's in America. I'm gonna say redneck though.
Yeah.
Redneck beards.
I miss festivals though. Do you remember when we went to that festival, Falls Festival?
The only thing I regret
about that, going to that festival, is that I did not go and see Juice WRLD.
Yeah, I don't. Where were you? Where'd you go?
I think that at the time, basically, there was a bunch of people playing, and Juice WRLD was one of the last acts of that Saturday night, because there was a Saturday and Sunday.
I was there.
Yeah, he was one of the last acts. We were watching someone else before Juice WRLD. Well, Juice WRLD was on. Was it Catfish? Was it Catfish and a Bottom?
No, Catfish was afterwards.
You sure?
Catfish was late at night. It was still daytime when...
No, it wasn't. It was night. Juice WRLD was definitely night.
Well, it fucking wasn't because my girlfriend and I were there.
Did you watch him?
Juice WRLD. Oh, no. I literally said that 2 minutes ago, and then you were like, "No, but it was that. How about take it from someone who was actually there?" And you're complaining about missing out.
Well, I know I was watching. Well, I know I was watching something else at the time, but I didn't know who Juice WRLD was.
What were you watching?
I think it was Hilltop Hoods at the time.
Oh, you sure wasn't that What was that band you like? Fishnets? Was that good? Fishnets?
No, I never heard of that. Oh, okay. I know that I was definitely watching something because recently, like, Juice WRLD dropped his... Well, not... I mean, Juice WRLD's dead, but... They finished his album. I don't know who finished it for him, but they finished the album for him.
I don't know who released it. I think it was just his management that released it.
But, dude, some of the songs...
Oh, you love it. You're a big fan of Juice WRLD.
Well, I am.
I think you're a fan of Juice WRLD too, like...
Yeah.
Because...
That's the point I'm trying to make. I was a fan on that bandwagon really late. Like, he's...
Yeah, because he's not released any... And you can't see him live anymore.
Yeah, that's the point, and I missed my chance.
I don't remember where you went.
I know that I was definitely off doing something, but, hey, man, I got to see Hilltop Hoods. Those are probably one of the best Australian artists ever. I mean, the best Australian artists right now, yeah.
Usually when it comes to Australia, it's a short list. It's a short list.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, but in terms of Australian artists... But Hilltop Hoods, they
probably... It's like coming first in Little Athletics.
Well, it's because
It's a very short list of really good Australian celebrities, like, music-wise.
But those guys, they opened for Eminem when he came here to Perth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I'm watching him perform for the first time, the energy those guys have is insane.
Well, when we were at the festival, you didn't actually know a whole lot of the lyrics to the stuff we were going, but the ones you did know was Hilltop Hoods. You knew all of the lyrics to that.
Yeah, well, basically, the concert was that area was insane. And I was right at the front.
Mm.
And then there was a point when they were just like, oh, we want everyone to take off some piece of clothing. And then literally people just started stripping around me. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It was like, well, it's that kind of party. So it was crazy, though. But, like, people were, like, chucking shit. Remember that people would throw beers at the back.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't anyone who throws like beers and especially water bottles.
Yeah.
They do a full water bottle and they just chuck in there and I'm like, oh, so that's someone's head getting caved in.
Yeah.
Just knocking out a few people.
Yeah. You could just do a game where you just put your hand up and see if something just like throws at you and catch it.
I can't remember who it was. There's that video with the guy throwing a cup of water and the guy at the stage.
Oh, it was a beer. It was a beer. He threw a beer. He caught the beer. And it was a cup of beer. And he drank it. It was awesome. Cool. Well, have you actually ever been to any concerts before?
I've been to a lot of concerts, but they've been like in bars. There's a indie Perth band that I really like who are getting bigger and bigger. Great Gable.
Oh.
I saw Great Gable and they're brilliant. They're if you like Ocean Alley and indie bands like that, did really like Great Gable. I knew about Great Gable quite a while ago, like at least a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 or 3 years ago? 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. And they do regular shows and things like that. But I really like them. That was a good night as well. I went to Listen Out, I watched like Denzel Curry and there was Flume and there was
How was that?
That was really good.
Well, this was last year, wasn't it?
Last year,
I think. You told me about that.
August?
Yeah.
August or September.
Yeah.
Somewhere in August. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was brilliant. I have no idea when we're getting festivals again.
But, dude, I honestly believe that when the festivals come back, people will flood there.
Oh, I feel like... You know how sometimes with festivals, you get a good year. Sometimes you got that with Groove in the Moon. Sometimes you got a good year, and then the following year, you would be like, yeah, yeah, last year was great. And they don't really care so much.
Yeah.
And then they have a big downturn in sales. And then the following one, it's good. It just goes like this, up and down, up and down.
Groove in the Mood did that.
That's why I said Groove in the Mood always did that. Yeah, GTM always did that, yeah.
Yeah, because you went to GTM the first year I met you.
And yeah, that was brilliant. That was really good.
You said the Wombats were there. Who else was there? Jungle Giants was there?
Catfish
was up there, really?
Oh, no, Catfish wasn't there. Who was that?
But I remember that was a good lineup.
I'm going to have to remember. Was it? It must have been 2017.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Catfish. It was... Golden Features, What's or Not, let me find out.
Is that the poster?
Milky Chance, Thundamentals, Wombats were brilliant.
Amy Shark was there.
Yeah, Tash, oh, who cares.
Amy Sharks was at the Falls Festival. She's actually really good. I actually like her.
Yeah, I'm sure she was. Violent Soho, Tash Sultana, who else was it? Methyl Ethyl, Jungle Giants. I love Jungle Giants.
Milky Chance
was brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it was brilliant. I thought it was really good. And but then the following year, it was completely different.
And even the year after that, it was crap too. Like, the only good thing about last year was Billie Eilish. That was it. I mean, Billie... Do you reckon Billie Eilish is a little bit overrated?
Yeah.
I do as well.
She's on every ad.
She's just a... To me, when I first heard of her, I'm just like, where's the talent? Where's the talent? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of it's just... She's like a white girl Travis Scott sometimes. Because the... Okay, just
she hangs out with a lot of rappers, I think.
That's the thing.
I think that's why.
What is it? When you listen to her music, I was, again, late on that bandwagon. Music is not really much my thing, I definitely say. I'm always late to finding all these different types of music, and I don't actively go around searching for music. It's usually what comes up on my Spotify radio.
I knew about a lot of stuff beforehand, but then when she started... to become more mainstream, then her, like, as soon as, especially Australian radio, as soon as they find an artist that connects with, like, the audience, they overplay it so much. It happened with, like, Ed Sheeran.
That's right.
Whenever Coldplay brings something out, they just...
The thing is with Billie Eilish, like, one of the first songs I heard from her on the radio, I think it was Bad Guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you take that song, you just take away the music that's going on in the background, because the beat changes so much. You just hear, she just talking. It's not.
She actually is a good singer.
Yeah.
She honestly is a good singer.
Mm-hmm.
I think more and more it just wasn't good music.
Mm.
I don't like it.
I think she just relies too much on beats.
Who knows? Mm. Who knows? Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not really a fan.
We're not musicians, though. I'm just giving my honest opinion. Yeah. She's young. She's younger than us.
18.
She's killing it for 18.
Oh yeah, she'll be a millionaire by now.
One thing I do love about her, though, one thing I do admire about her is the route that she takes. She's one of those artists that just, because in the music industry, sex sells, and some of them are so heavily sexualized, and that's, they just use it. But the artist, she just dresses constantly in big clothes and baggy outfits.
Dresses like a boy.
Yeah, well,
just like a boy.
Like, I kind of like, I respect the fact that she doesn't want to be seen for her physical image.
I don't think that's, like, you can definitely respect it, but I feel like she just doesn't want that attention herself.
Yeah.
I can't feel good. Can't feel good to have, like, tons of people's eyes, like, looking at you, and, like, especially when it comes to what you wear as well. Like, if the most there are, like, what hoodie are you going to wear? It's nothing big, but when it's, like, who are you, what are you wearing, and all these, like, because they do that with artists and actors when they go to those Met Galas, and they all go crazy about what they're wearing and how expensive it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a bit bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all a bit bullshit. It's cool. It's cool to a degree because they're being artists and they're expressing themselves, but a lot of the time it's the same thing that always happens in Hollywood, and it's to be different, but to like flex on people, like how much money they have and shit like that, not to actually be artistically expressive.
Well, one of the things that, well, you brought up the Met Gala. I remember now from the top of my head last year's one, I think it was the year before, but everyone was having a go at Kim Kardashian because what she wore.
She came as a cupcake?
Based.
Something like that?
Well, what she wore like this like skin-colored dress. Was it a
muffin or a hot dog or something?
And they put her in one of those waist thinners. You know, one of those old school waist fitters, and they made her waist literally so tiny that it
physically... They used to do it all the time, not long ago.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, she's promoting unreal beauty standards. I'm like, do you people have anything better to do? That's the one time of the year where she wears that, and you're giving a crap for it. I mean, isn't that the place where it should be allowed to be worn?
To be honest, can you really blame some people to want to look the best on one day?
Exactly.
And things like that. What I don't like is when they're on magazines and they've been airbrushed and photoshopped.
Well,
the absolute like shit.
Yeah, you can tell when something is like super, super airbrushed.
You do photo shoots, right? Photo shoots and stuff.
But rarely are they ever. I don't think I've ever done one that's been like really photoshopped. You get what I mean?
Maybe. So they do.
They do a little stuff. Bit.
They do a little bit.
Well, one thing that they sometimes do is that if they like to sort of put on a tan.
So they put it on a tan beforehand?
Yeah. When they do the editing, they make it look like I'm tanned.
Because you do beach stuff, right?
Yeah,
and you're white as snow.
Thank you.
It's a compliment. You won't get cancer. It's all good.
Call me Cocaine Joe.
Cocaine Joe, yeah. So you got White as Snow Joe.
Thank you.
I'm Jack Snow, so.
Jack Snow. Jack Frost.
Jack Frost, yeah.
Right, so. But one thing I said about Photoshop, because they do that, but the other thing that, one of the things that got me, that irritates me about Photoshop is when they do it to fitness models as well, when their apps, like, the thing is, the problem I have is, I used to read
Men's Health magazines, yeah, and things like that.
One thing they used to give this guy crap was, there was this guy called Ant Middleton, right? He's a SAS, ex-SAS Special Forces soldier.
The dude with the beard.
Yeah, the dude with the beard. I read a book called The Fear Bubble about the time he climbed up Mount Everest.
Yeah, yeah.
Great book.
Quick aside, I want to do an Everest walk, like, one day.
Dude, it would be intense, man, based on his account. Because this is basically an ex-SAS and Special Forces soldier who even struggled himself. But anyway, getting off topic, the idea I had was, he was on the cover of Men's Health.
Yeah.
And then people gave him crap because he wasn't ripped enough.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what? Because his abs don't show off that much. I'm like, the guy is one of the most elite soldiers.
To be honest, if you're in a scenario like being a soldier and things like that, if you don't have to be ripped, why does it care? You're not winning a show, you're not doing anything like that. To have fat on you is actually like, if you were to get flung into the side of a building or into the side of a car because a bomb just blew off, why wouldn't you want a little bit of fat to cushion you? Also, let's say you don't know when your next meal is.
Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant.
Well, the other thing is, like, it's those magazines that are too focused on image. You should be focused more on performance.
But do you know who's actually making those comments?
Who?
Fat as fuck keyboard warriors.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, of course. Well, the idea that we should be promoting when it comes to those magazines is like, focus more on performance, guys. Like, let's say, for example, we take an MMA fighter, or we take a footballer, or we take... Do you think Daniel Cormier is, like, thinking about his own image right now?
No.
Do you think, Andy Ruiz was concerned about his gut when he was fighting Anthony Joshua for the first time?
No.
It's ridiculous. Well, I mean, I always tell people, when it comes to, like, working out and getting in shape, do not focus on your numbers on the scales. Focus on the numbers you're putting on the scoreboard. Focus on things like, how much can you deadlift, how much can you bench, how much squat. Focus on your technique. You know what I mean? Don't focus on what you see in the image, that in the mirror. That will come as a byproduct.
It will come as a byproduct, but the reason why certain sports have certain physiques is, that's the whole point. When you get a big, let's say, let's be honest, kind of almost bordering obese powerlifter or strongman, to be honest, that's what's needed. That's what's a lot of needed in stabilizations of a lot of lifts, right? If you're a swimmer, you kind of want a lean, long, fairly muscular physique. If you're a runner, like a long distance runner, why would you want to look like Arnold?
Exactly.
You don't, because your physique should be in the sport you want it to. And if it doesn't make sense to, like, I want to compete at this certain level, but I want to have a completely different physique than a different sport, it doesn't work, because the reason why all those guys have that physique, that's why in the Olympics, a lot of these really good powerlifters, short stature, very muscular, sometimes they're on the heavier side, right? Because it's to be shorter stature and a bit more stocky and more muscular, and sometimes a little bit more fat, it works better for lifts. It really does. Now, basketball players, I don't see many midgets running about trying to compete with LeBron, right?
Well, you got some short guys in the NBA.
They do, and I want to bring up Nate Robinson later. Okay. Because I was watching one of his videos on YouTube. He's got a YouTube channel.
Really?
I'll get back. Okay. But there's a reason why you're not getting little short asses trying to compete with other dudes in basketball, because that is the physique that works. So you really should just focus on what works for your sport, if that is your decision, right? And train, you got to train sport for specific to what you're actually doing, then the physique follows.
Exactly.
Because it's just a byproduct.
Yeah.
Just the same as your physique is a byproduct of what you eat as well. Mm-hmm. Right? You eat like shit, you look like shit. Okay?
Yeah.
You eat good, you look good. Okay? I know I brought up Nate Robinson because I watched one of his videos the other day. Because I mentioned, it must have been 2 weeks ago because it's been postponed. That fight's been postponed.
Oh, yeah. Do you know why that is?
I did a little bit of research in it and I could be wrong, but what the Paul brothers were saying was there's having so much traffic to the site that to buy the tickets to watch it, they're actually going to postpone it I think a month or two so that they can possibly get the fans there in person.
Oh, yeah. So they want a crowd.
I think they want a crowd. Oh, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
For the Nate Robinson and Jake Paul, who cares, right? Who cares?
You should care.
No, not really. But the Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr.,
yeah.
Why not wait? There's nothing wrong with waiting because...
Yeah, isn't it? It's literally supposed to be next... It was supposed to be next month and it was only announced, quite a few weeks ago?
It doesn't give guys that are over 50 years old to actually have a proper camp,
yeah.
Does it? I'm fine with them. They're just going to be in better condition. They're going to have better conditioning. They're going to last longer. They're going to be more prepared. What's wrong with that?
I honestly hope that, you know, do you reckon they'll go the distance? Because, I mean, think about it. Mike Tyson's,
54.
54. And Roy Jones Jr. is not far from it.
51.
And do you want to see, I feel like, how many rounds is it going to be? Six?
Eight
rounds. Correcting me all. do you want to see two guys go eight rounds? I feel like... But then at the same time, do you want to see a 50-year-old man get knocked out?
Probably not, but...
You know what I wish you could do? Take him back in time. Go back to their both prime. Take him out of that time period and put him in today's time period.
Well, prime Mike Tyson versus prime Roy Jones Jr. would be amazing to see. But even out of prime is amazing to see. You know?
So tell me about Nate Robinson. Do you think he's going to beat Jake Paul? Because I don't. I think this dude's going to get absolutely slaughtered. I mean, look at him now.
I think he has a great physique, right? I think he has a good physique, and he kind of does look like a boxer. But the way I've seen him, he's not a boxer. He's not a boxer. I don't know who his coach is or whatever. They're just training at a playground or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he has the conditioning for boxing. I think it's the conditioning of running back and forth on a court. He does not have the conditioning for boxing. It's completely different. It's sport specific. He's got good drills and things like that. And he obviously he's in great shape. He must eat well and
he's 36 as well. I think he's 34, 36.
So he's out of his prime.
Yeah.
And he looks a bit of a mixture between, like, you know, your normal athletic.
I don't get why him. Like, what the...
I have no idea where it came from.
Yeah, I haven't seen that coming either.
I have no idea.
I think someone must have called out someone, but what the hell does a 30-something-year-old man have with a 23-year-old gut? I think he's a 22-year-old kid.
I don't know. I don't know what happened about that FBI raid as well with Jake
Paul. I'm still clearing that. I'm still looking for information on that. Jake Paul hasn't come forward about the FBI raid. But what I know for sure was, I saw it on TMZ, the neighbors reported a loud bang that sounded like an explosion. So I'm guessing he must have been filming something like a video.
Probably firing guns or something.
Yeah, probably. And then what happens is someone reports that, according to the FBI, or when a case like that is reported, they have to send in armed forces.
Yeah.
Armed, and it was an armed response. But it was like a heavy armed response. It was like 20 guys on like armored vehicles. And there was all these guns that were seized of him because obviously we're in America, you know, he has like keeps so many guns around the house, around his mansion, because, well, you know, when you're that famous and you've got that much hate, that many people coming after you, obviously he's a target.
I feel like he's just having fun. I feel like
people do love in America. People do love guns. It's a massive business.
It's a huge business, which is why they'll never make them illegal. But
yeah, that's the thing. I honestly don't see America ever going into a time Or at least not for
Australia did it so quickly.
I know.
As well, after we had that massacre, everyone just went, like, you know, the government just went, all right, do you mind if we have your guns back and we'll give you money for the guns? And everyone just went,
yeah, all right. Here's the thing, though. I don't think guns were ever a part of our culture.
They never were. They never had the culture that Americans ever had. There were a lot. I think we always had better legislation for that. It was mainly, I think, guns are mainly illegal. Although you can get a gun illegally, obviously somehow, but it's obviously a lot more difficult than it is in America.
Oh yeah.
But the ones that people get guns are farmers, which is natural, right? Yeah. Farmers for anything that they may need with a gun. I think that's the only fair one for farmers to do that, to protect the land and things like that. That's okay.
Well, in America, I mean, the gun culture is massive. Like, there's gun shops everywhere.
They have AR-15s and you know, it's mad. It's insane. Well, why would I need an assault rifle?
Well, that's the thing. Assault rifle is just a term that they gave to them, basically, to make it more... was a term that they would give to the guns. It's not like an actual gun, you know what I mean? It's just a broad umbrella term that they gave to things like M16s or AR-15s, you get what I mean?
Bro, I play enough COD. I know I shouldn't have that in my house.
Well, dude, the term is...
Sorry, we play it.
Well, the thing is, assault... Yeah, we do play COD. But the term assault rifle isn't like a real name for a gun. It's just a name. It's a broad umbrella term they gave to machine guns or semi-automatics.
It's a category of guns. However, you know... There's a lot of very scary guns under that category which are perfectly fine to purchase legally in America, which is very...
But the thing is, a lot of actual gun crime is dealt with, is used during handguns, right? Because
it can be concealed.
Yeah. But here's the other thing when it comes to... When you look at gun crime, I mean, it actually is going down in America, believe it or not, over time.
Yeah, I think over time, but they have enough shootings that I think I wish it was a lot quicker.
Yeah. But there's almost three times as many guns, and because there's that many guns, and you forget how many people in America, it is a population that takes up a large chunk of the world.
Mm.
And what is it? So when they got that many people and they got that many guns, that's why they'll probably never take them away. But it's
getting pushed. Of the biggest producers and one of the biggest buyers of guns.
Do you think people should be allowed to have guns?
Complicated question, because I do respect the constitution, however it was written when they had muskets, where you could go pom, 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 pom. It would take a couple of minutes, bang.
But you know what else they had? Cannons.
Yeah, they had cannons in the car, but you know, I doubt they were just like in the constitution. I doubt in the constitution they said, y'all can have your cannons. Y'all can have three cannons, no more than three cannons.
Shit, we get cannons? Order up three cannons. Shit, you know what else the other thing is?
I'm going to strap cannons to my tiger.
Next thing you know, some dude's walking around with a horse, right? And he's got a can strapped to his butt.
Oh, God.
Or a can strapped. just a cannon on each side, just pow.
But the thing with that, that's a really complicated question because, like, they should be able to have their guns to a degree. I feel like there's a lot of guns out there that can protect you, mm-hmm. but also not massacre people on a great scale.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of people that can buy assault rifles and put it in your backseat. Like, that should not happen. Mm. Like, that should not happen. But they should be able to have... I think they should be able to have handguns and things like that.
Mm.
I think so. I think they should be able... But it's difficult because as soon as you take away some people's guns, then it makes it more difficult because then you could also just buy one illegally because there's so many guns floating around in that kind of black market. So you could always just purchase one illegally if it became illegal. Also, I don't think people would give up their guns very lightly unless there was a... They gave them a huge amount of money for them. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, me neither. I don't ever see guns really going away at all in America. But the thing is, though, it's just it's crazy how powerful the NRA is. National Rifle Association. When it comes to running for governor or mayor or how even president, if you respect or come up and say, I respect the Second Amendment, NRA gives them a fat check and that's it. They almost win because if you think about it.
A lot of these companies, to be honest, a lot of the time, whenever there's a president and things like that, and there, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, we want to pass gun control laws and things like that. The tough thing is a lot of these like political campaigns are paid for by enormous ammunition and weapon manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to take that away? They're not going to do that, right? But I found it interesting that a lot of people go on about Obama passing gun control laws. Actually, Trump has passed more gun control laws and done more for gun control than Obama has, which is interesting because that doesn't really seem like Trump's street.
Mm.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
No,
I didn't know that. Well, anyway, let's move on to a more easygoing topic.
When Corona hit, a lot of things closed. Movies closed. Comedy nights closed. You're a big fan of comedy, and how quickly did you get back into it?
I just did my first comedy gig back since COVID.
Right.
The last one I probably did was.
I thought you said February.
Maybe February, March.
March,
around that time.
Start of March or something
like that. Yeah, something like that. I mean, the comedy for me is always. Some people that they do it, they're so hardcore, man. They do it like once a week, every week, or multiple times a week, and they just go nonstop around all these places. Because one of the best things about Perth is there's so many comedy rooms, man. I did not know how much comedy rooms there were.
There's a really good comedy club in the city
Oh yeah, and there's heaps of them around Perth in just general, and. For me, because I do so much, man, like I stretch myself in a fair bit, and I just try to do one to two per month. So pardon me.
Bless you.
Oh, God.
So you try and do one or two a month.
Yeah, and I did my first one back on Wednesday. It was at the Bastien Hotel. Great gig. I had so much fun. It felt really good to be back. Good to be on stage. I've been doing stand-up comedy. It'll be 2 years in November. So I've been doing it for quite some time, for a little bit of time now. But, you know, again, I haven't done as long as gigs. There's some guys that have done like three times as many as I have, and they've been doing it for just as long. But it's just something that I just do not want to stop. It's something that I go down to.
It's got
to
be fun.
It is fun. It's like but not even that, but it's like a legit skill. The one thing I respect the most about comedians is that we have this thing called bombing, right? Bombing is when you give a joke, you give a punchline,
really does not hit well.
No one laughs. And hell, you get even worse. Someone says, oh, fuck you. Or they say, oh, that was terrible. You got to take that shit cuts deep.
Well, you had a spot of that the other day. Didn't you have a couple of people complain?
Oh, well, that's one thing the comedy is that people are saying, oh, yeah, comedy is dying. We need to boycott comedy because it's offensive. I'm like, what? Excuse me, why? And then they say, oh, because it's inciting violence or inciting hatred or it's hate speech. I'm like, hold on. When a comedian writes his jokes, when I write my jokes, the first thing that I'm thinking in my head is, oh, how many people I'm going to piss off? Oh, I hate this, so I'm going to write a joke about this and I want him to be offended. No, the thing is, a comedian, when he writes his joke, he just wants to incite humor. We only say the joke because people laugh and think it's funny. And if one or two people react...
You wouldn't say it
to be hurtful.
You wouldn't say it to the whole crowd just to be like, I want everyone in here to have their feelings hurt.
Yes.
And for them walk away feeling negative. Majority of the time, it's 95% of them, they walk away and they're like, haha, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. I'm glad that
being offended is a choice, man.
Mm.
How about just don't be offended? Here's the thing. We're living in a generation where people basically just need to be more thick-skinned. Like, you tell me, I've said this before on the podcast, one thing you need to be, if you want to be successful in life, regardless of what you do, you got to be thick-skinned. Do you think lawyers are complaining because other lawyer like interrupted him in court.
Mm.
No, he fucking brings up a better case, better comes on, brings up a better argument. He doesn't let that one thing just destroy him. And it's like this. It is literally, I do a 5 minute set. Okay. The jokes I say last about a minute max, because I gotta keep going, gotta keep giving these punchlines onto the next one, onto the next one, onto the next one. It's like this. If you had $80,000, right, and someone took $10 from you, would you care?
No.
No. So why do you do that in terms of seconds? If someone took 10 seconds for you, we're going to let all the rest of the seconds of the day count.
Mm.
It's really as simple as that. And I don't feel like, and these days they're just trying to censor certain jokes, and I don't. I feel like we shouldn't be censoring any kind of jokes. I mean, if they say it and it's funny and it's a skill, they should basically make a joke about, like, I talk about being deaf on stage, right? Mm. And I like to show the people, look, I mean, hey, I've done all this stuff in my life, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm very comfortable with being vulnerable. I'm very comfortable with vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always say to everyone, when you're going through adversity and you can, or you're going through a hard time, you don't like yourself, if you can laugh in the face of adversity, you are bulletproof. It is it's one of my favorite quotes, and Ricky Gervais said it. And he makes jokes about anything. You can make a joke about anything. He makes jokes about, like, Nazis, like, car crashes, like, people dying. And it's just, he's phenomenal. And he just does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
I think for you to, because you were telling me today that you don't have to say anything, but a couple of people, I'm guessing middle-aged or elderly women, that found it offensive what you said on stage. Or maybe, probably, to be honest, if they were complaining about you, they were mainly also complaining about other people on stage. I very much doubt you're the worst one on stage.
Thank you.
In terms of, like content and shit like
that. Well, it's because I've had some bad gigs, man. I've had some bombs. And I've had some people interrupt me while I'm trying to talk, like, trying to give...
Been there?
Yeah, you know.
I was there watching you?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
I'll talk about it in a second, but, like, what I wanted to say was that, like, I don't get why people come to a place of humor where there may be borderline jokes, where they joke about something that's not talked about often or is difficult to bring up because it's a bit awkward or different. They walk into a place which to have fun and other people have fun to relax and get offended. It's like, why change that place? Why not be like, this isn't my place, walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, hey, some of these places aren't really my thing. That joke wasn't my thing. Da, da, da. It's fine. There are plenty of other jokes out there that I like. Or maybe I'll just stay at home and I'll watch a comedy special about someone that has cleaner material than I like. I don't get why they come to a space where there is going to be more different topics put up. And then knowing that, they get annoyed, but you drove yourself there.
Mm-hmm. It's just, like I said again, it's a choice, man. I mean, well, if you let something like that hurt you, then, well, why should the person who did it, well, it's like this. The jokes that people say, some of them just don't like and all that, but why should they why should the people on stage be held accountable when at the end of the day, that their intent is not to hurt you. Their intent is to make you laugh.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
But the thing is, a lot of the time, those jokes that are really bad are typically from the open mic night because... So I'm going to bring up... The first time I ever watched you do stand-up was in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down...
Which was one of my worst gigs I've ever done.
Your girlfriend came with you. My girlfriend came with me. We watched... I was really excited for you to go up. I thought there were some funny jokes in there, but there was also some absolute crackpots that were there in front of you, and I felt like I was in a group AA meeting or therapy session because they were really voicing stuff you should probably only tell a therapist, because I was like, some of them weren't, they weren't even... I was looking for the humor and there was no humor there. Some of them were so bad. I was like, they didn't crack a smile either. I was just like, these are not good.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like they took something dark from their past, but then didn't make it lighthearted and funny. They just put it out, then they were like, yeah, I feel terrible about that too. I just told everyone bye. Like,
well, it's just the thing. That's the thing about open mic nights, where they're just trying to shoot, you know, quick as much material as they can, and you know, they're just trying to, at the end of the day, that some people will just do anything just to make people laugh. You know, they will go that far, and even if it means like crossing some territory about yourself. But like, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't make a joke about anything, because you know, I'm at all. But there's some things I just don't make a joke about, because I make jokes about the things that I find myself are funny. And for them, that's just their style.
There's some topics where there might only be one or two jokes out there that kind of actually work.
Well, there you go.
Right?
And there's a kind of people
that just search. But they're refined over and over and over and over. It takes years for it to be this fully formed idea, put it out there. And a lot of the time, sometimes it doesn't work. Right? But 90% of the people like it. However, if you were to say the exact same words in a different way, it wouldn't work.
There you go.
There's some topics out there it's probably best avoid, because unless you're one of the very best, you're going to suck.
Yeah.
Really bad.
That's why some of the best comedians out there are the ones that are literally the most controversial. Like Dave Chappelle, probably one of the greatest comedians of our time.
Yeah.
100%. He makes jokes about school shootings now.
Mm.
And that is a really hard topic to joke
especially
about.
Where he is.
Oh, yeah.
Here it might be a bit more lighthearted, because Australia doesn't really get school shootings because we don't have guns. Yeah. So a lot of the time they'll be like, oh, well, we're nothing like America. But in America, you know, it could have been your kid that went to school and things like that. But he seems to engineer jokes in a specific way that still would get one of these people that was on the fence to have a bit of a giggle or a smile.
Yeah.
Right?
He's that damn good.
He's good. He's brilliant.
But to get to that level, oh, he's probably at the pinnacle.
He's probably at the very top.
He's
probably
the very...
Probably the Mount Rushmore of comedians out there.
Well, the thing is, the thing I love about comedy is, like, it's just... You could be having a bad day, right? You walk into an open mic room, you get 10 comedians. One of them, at least one of them you're going to like.
Yeah.
At least one of them is going to have a really good, and then it's just have a good joke. And it's just the power of laughter. You could be having a shit day, walk into a open mic night, have a good time, be like, oh, leave saying, hey man, today wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I'm 5% better.
Yeah.
5% better. That's what counts.
And that's the power of laughter. That's what I love so much about it. I've had some gigs where literally some kid came up to me and said, hey, man, I was having a really, really bad day. X happened. This happened. I can't remember what he said specifically, but he said, man, when you got up there, I loved you. I loved your set. You're really good. Or there was just some people that say, hey, man, I really liked that joke you said. Some people come up to me and say, hey, man, your joke that you said last night or tonight was crazy good. I mean, and then we just spark up a conversation. And it's just the fact that you can make someone's day just by saying something funny. That shit to me is amazing. And that is one of the reasons why I love to do it so much.
Yeah.
The fact that it's like almost like a service to others.
But to take that away from someone, to even have the opportunity to make someone laugh, doesn't make any sense. Because this is what some people do. And do really well to actually entertain people. And it's just another form of entertainment.
Exactly. It
takes a lot of repetition and time to be able to...
It's like any skill, though. It takes reps. Mm. Like, when we watch comedy specials all the time. You and me both. Yeah. We love to watch that stuff. To get to one comedy special, he probably did like...
Thousands of
gigs. And he's trying to put it all on the line for 1 hour. 1 hour that's recorded so you can watch. And for a lot of people, that 1 hour is how they've known him for. You know what I mean? And to get to that level, it's so hard. And the talent pool is so high. And right now there is more comedians than ever, because there's more rooms than ever. And basically more people. And the reason why I like it is that they're trying to let it be an open community. Look, like they say, look, hey man, it's a dark community, but it can be open, because we show people anyone can get up on stage and do it. You know what I mean? Like, it could be someone's mother or someone's brother.
You just have to have the confidence to do so.
Exactly. And that's the other thing I want to talk about. There are two types of comedians I've met. There's the ones who are extremely confident on stage. They got great stage presence, but their material is not that good. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who have killer material, but being on stage, they're fucking nervous wrecks.
But it's the killer material that work that will make them
better. It because does.
Confident, you would build confidence, but if you exactly. like, but you know, you would get better and better. However, you know, if you're just the loud guy,
yeah,
you are just the loud guy.
There you go.
You're not funny yet.
Yeah, that's the thing. But it works the other way because you've already got the confidence. You just need to keep writing, keep finding things that work. It's a double-edged sword, really. It's a double-edged sword.
I think it's the main thing is time, because time.
Yeah.
It takes time to get more confident, but it gets time to also get good. If you're already writing good material, you get better and better, but you do have to build the confidence of being on stage.
Time can make anything better, really.
Yeah.
Let's take this podcast, for example. Do you remember the first episode we did? We've been doing this, 6 weeks now?
6 weeks, and we just hit 200 followers on Instagram today.
Thank you, guys. I want to say, whoever's followed us on Instagram, a big thank you from us both.
Yeah.
Right? But the idea... Anyway, again, I'm sorry. But the idea...
We're almost 200 downloads as well.
Oh, really?
183 downloads. We've got 200 followers on Instagram. I think we're 440 views on YouTube. So it won't be long until we're at 500. Probably when we release this, we'll hit the 500 mark. We've got better and better because I don't think that we were like not relaxed.
Yeah.
But we were certainly a little bit nervous beforehand because we'd never done this before. Whereas we're so much more natural. We're better at talking to each other. And I think what I noticed, I'll say this, sometimes I look for advice from other people I know, and I talk to my brother, and my brother said, look, here's my advice. I want you guys to be a little bit less professional. I want you guys to just like have a bit more of a conversation and be less like put together. And I thought he was correct because I was like, I didn't notice it until now, but then I was like, well, I always introduce it like it's a show, but the whole point of podcast is not to be a show.
It's meant to be a conversation.
It's meant to be a conversation because, you know, I was telling you so much, who wants to hear Jimmy Kimmel or James Corden, who have the most fakest, like, ah, ha, 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 yeah. ha. Well, I can already tell you, you're fake as, and I don't want to... When you have like this concocted little snippet of a show, everything's all made perfect.
Yeah, it's all staged. It's all staged.
It's all scripted.
It's not unfiltered. You know what I mean?
The compliments have been written for them.
They've got a laugh machine.
That audience probably isn't there.
Yeah, with us, it's literally just us talking. But like I say again, man, it was going back. Everything gets better with time. Think about it. Martial arts takes 10 years to get a black belt.
Mm.
Can take longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Comedians, some of the guys do fringe shows. Some of them do it for at least 3 years before they even get close to a fringe show. Mm. You know, it's like this podcast. 6 weeks ago, we barely knew what we were doing. 6 weeks forward, we got some idea. We got a little bit of idea.
It's like anything, like from a soccer kick to a jab to anything. Like I know myself, I'm not the most like athletic person, but if it takes time, then I'll get good at it. It's anything. I've never been good at anything naturally.
Yeah.
Really.
It's what I said to my boss at work when I started working in the UFC gym. I did not have the best start.
No.
Because it was just before COVID. I did not have the best start. But when I came back, I said, look, give me time, and I will be good at this. And I'm getting a little bit better at it.
Yeah.
A little bit of time, because the whole idea is of progress and self-help and self-development. I always tell myself, what did you do yesterday? Or what are you going to do today that's going to make you better tomorrow?
Mm.
And that's why one of the things I tell myself, reading, because I said to myself, if you read something, you read a paper, you read a book, you read an article, you read a magazine, you read a newsletter, you read whatever, you did not know what was on that page 5 seconds ago or 5 minutes ago, and now you know something a little bit more than you knew 5 minutes ago. It is like that. And you bump, and obviously don't want to overflow it all into one day, because there's so much information these days. It's getting to a point where almost information itself has become irrelevant, because there's just, we're living in a world where the amount of information
is saturated.
Huge. So yeah, exactly,
it's a very saturated market, whereas
but still
a lot of books hold a lot of good information. I mean, I'm halfway in The Secret, and I'm really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna keep this, like reading it and things like that.
Yeah, and again, the more you do, and when you finish that book, you did not know that book X amount of time weeks ago. That's why, you know, and I think it's important, guys. Everything gets better with time. Like, you know, if whoever was good at something right off the bat, you know, no one. They said they were good at something right off the bat. They were straight up lying to you.
Yeah. Well, there's some people that are talented, right? But
you're never going to be the same as when you start compared to where you are down the track. And it's just,
I don't think there's been any sport that I've been good at naturally.
Yeah.
I just got good at it. Like martial arts, terrible.
Oh yeah.
Terrible little skinny kid. I'll tell you something. And I was very young when I first started doing the sport taekwondo, but I was I'm obviously a lot bigger now. I'm 85 kilos or something like that, but I used to be an absolute stick, 50 kilos, still, I think I was like 17 or something like that, and I was still, I think I was 55, maybe 60 kilos, somewhere between 55 and 60 kilos, so skinny. So, but I was even skinny before that when I was a kid, which is when I started doing the taekwondo, and they had sensors for the chest guards, right? And I would kick someone, right? And I would land because I was fast. I was always quick. But I wasn't strong enough for the sensor to register a kick. Even though I kicked him, it wasn't hard enough for it to register on the board, right? But I got better and better over time and got a lot better at it, right? I got a lot stronger just by getting a lot, you know, a bit tougher and a bit stronger, a bit bigger. But that's the thing. A lot of the time, sometimes your physical attributes and things like that don't meet up to what you want. And I think you would say that with that as well. You must have been a skinny kid before you started working out.
I was really, really
skinny. You would have been a pretty skinny kid. I was a skinny kid before working out.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the time, you know, you're not good at what you started. I reckon you probably sucked. You're a strong guy now, but you probably weren't. You probably sucked at bench. You probably sucked at squat. You probably sucked in the weight room, whereas it's completely different now. But, you know, how long have you been working out for?
Oh, I'm 21, so I started when I was 5 years.
5 years.
5 years.
Right,
give or take, yeah.
So, you know, you've been working out, you probably worked out a little bit before then, but 5 years hard, right? Mm-hmm. 5 years of hard training, right? Before then, you must have been skinny as, you must have sucked. Like, it does take time to get better at stuff. But you must have been hella skinny, yeah?
For sure, because I was a cross-country runner back in high school and basically played football. And literally, so pretty much the only thing I would do was just run. Well, I knew how to kick a ball, but I was really, really good at running.
Mm.
And because, you know, you don't really need much muscle mass when it comes to running.
No.
And I just got sick of it and started weight training. And then weight training basically just, like, took off from there.
Mm.
But right at the bat, it was really hard to make progress because, you know, there was not much muscle to start with.
No.
So that's why. So it took a lot of time and it took a lot of hours. And for me, it meant something very, very deep, and it was very meaningful to me because it got to a point where when I was in year 11 and year 12 of high school, where I literally, it was Saturday night after work. I used to work in City Beach in Harbour Town.
Mm.
I do the shift from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., sometimes maybe later, and I literally go to the gym straight away after, and it was literally one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
And I used to do it every morning before school. And it got to a point where my mom was like, you've got to take a rest day, you know, because I was just so obsessed with training. Like, taking a rest day for me was probably one of the hardest things to do.
But it's not a bad thing to be obsessed with something new because you love it. I think when you have obsessions on the negative things,
yeah,
then it's bad. But why not be obsessed on positive
things? Exactly, because the people who are obsessed with something positive, let's take learning an instrument, for example, they practice religiously. Those people are the ones that usually become incredibly successful, incredibly famous. Huh?
Exactly.
And let's take this podcast, for example. If we didn't pump out 2 a week or try to at least pump out 2 a week, and we were just doing like once a month, you know, we wouldn't say that we would be obsessed with wanting to make this thing grow. We are obsessed.
We've only done this for about 6 or so weeks,
mm-hmm.
but I would say 6, yeah?
Yeah.
This is our 11th podcast, I think.
Oh, yeah, man. 11 podcasts.
It would be our 11th podcast, right? But if you don't stay consistent with a certain things, you do fall off the bandwagon a little bit, because, you know, we're sticking to one or two times a week where we do the MMA and the Everyday Hour. And to be honest, I'm a bit obsessed with it because I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy it such a great amount. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Why not be obsessed with like building a really good podcast?
Why not be obsessed with, let's say, getting smarter, getting faster, getting stronger? Why not be obsessed with mastering a sport?
Obsessed with photography. Obsessed with being creative and expressing yourself. Because this is an art form, technically. It's a form of art. Mm-hmm. The things that we produce, the thumbnails to the things I post on Instagram, it's a form of art, right? From everything. If your body's an art piece, then so is the things that that art piece produces. So why not get obsessed with that? Exactly. Like, to not be obsessed with it, it's just you're holding yourself back. Have fun.
Obsessed shouldn't be a negative title. It shouldn't have a negative definition to it.
The only thing is when that obsession means like I must do this or that, like, yeah, like that, but then it morphs into a negative obsession. Yeah. Because if you have a negative obsession, like I must go to the gym or my whole day is fucked.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah, right?
You can have a good day without going to the gym.
Yeah,
just why not make it better?
Well, it could be. Yeah, it depends on what the actual goal is itself. Let's say, for example, you're setting goals for yourself, right? And you're constantly setting good, positive goals and positive reinforcement. That is a good and, I would say, a healthy obsession.
Yeah.
Let's say it was the goal for you was, you know, let's say for a bodybuilder, he has body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
You know, he has to train, otherwise he starts, I don't know, hating on himself. That's a bad obsession. It's the same with athletes. Some of them have, like, absolute pure love for the process, you know what I mean? And then they train and it doesn't, and they do not entirely affect their lives, you know what I mean?
I think there was something that we talked about, that we were going to talk about, which was like steroids in sports, right? There's a negative obsession. Your positive obsession is, I want to be the best there is. I want to be the best runner. I want to be the highest jumper and things like that, which is great. Like, you're trying to achieve the pinnacle of, you know, human activity, right? Human performance. Negative obsession is it's morphs into a negative obsession because you're going, I need to do so well that I must take this to do that, and that sucks because then it's not you anymore. It's morphed into you're starting to do stuff to your own body that you don't know the consequences of.
It also just just shows the level of, what is it, commitment? Well, I wouldn't say, maybe
it
say
is commitment.
This is one of the studies that's always stuck with me. They did an Olympic, I think they did a study in the Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm.
They asked them, if you would take a drug, right, that would most likely kill you in the next 10 to 15 years, but it will guarantee you a gold medal at the next Olympics, would you take it? More than 50% of the people said yes.
Good, to be honest. Another 50% won't.
Maybe so. But it shows...
To a degree, I think there's a lot of people...
You know,
That wouldn't break that thing. But I think 50% of them are honest, and maybe another 25% won't. That other 25%, I think they're being true to themselves.
Everyone in that study probably at least gave it some thought at some point in their life. Shit, if I took steroids, would I do it?
What they should have asked was... Have I ever contemplated taking something that was illegal?
There you go.
And I bet you 80% of them probably would have said yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's what I want to see. You know, I mean, I feel like maybe one day it might integrate into sport. I believe that one day steroids or performance enhancers, to be specific, will become a part of sport, or at least they maybe create a division where that stuff is sort of allowed. Well, because, you know, we're big fans of the UFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're big fans of MMA, big fans of fighting.
Yeah.
Pride itself was one of the fight organizations that did not test for steroids, and it was incredibly popular.
Yeah, you had a lot of people. I think we wrote a list out. We had, you know, there was Dan Hendo. There was... Well, actually, I'm going to bring up people that went for steroids as well as steroid metabolites and peptides and things like that. So we had Chad Mendes, we had Anderson Silva, we've had Brock Lesnar, we've had John Jones, we've had Right, Yoel Romero, but he tested, he checked that. I think he's just a Cuban.
I've had TJ Dillon's tour.
He took EPO. Alistair Overeem, Uberim.
Mm-hmm. Mark Coleman. Mark Coleman. Fuckload of steroids. Oh. Bob Sapp.
Did you say Kimbo was?
Kimbo's. Maybe. I think he was.
I thought you said Kimbo was on steroids.
I think he was.
I don't know if that ever came up. But there's been enormous amount of UFC and Pride stars that have taken that sort of thing, and I don't know. It's been in every other sport. Steroids and things like that, EPO, things like that. So to bring up EPO, that was...
Yeah, he did. It was tested positive for steroid use after Bellator 149 fight.
Oh, okay. So in Bellator. Okay. So EPO use was used a lot with Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong would always have the image of saying, no, I'm a clean athlete. And he would actually sue other people, you know, and say they're taking stuff and things like that. Then he comes out, he was one of the biggest cheats. You know, he was number one, but, you know, when they did test those other athletes, the top 30 cyclists in Tour de France, they were all taking some form of EPO or some form of PED. You know, I think there might be to, you know, I do think you're correct that, you know, if they had Pride, they could also have some other sport where if it's like basketball or soccer or rugby or footy or something like that, they're going to allow to some degree steroids to be taken or for the just not to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's already in acting and
it's in Hollywood. It is everywhere. Hollywood. Like, you see these Hollywood basically stars and they like literally bulk up, like let's say gain 30 pounds of muscle
in 2 months. I want your reaction. Who's that guy? Kumail Nanjiani? So he was in a movie with Batista, but then he went in a following movie and he gained a lot of size. Now, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be able to tell straight away he's on roids. Okay, I'll bring him up. Kumail. You're going to recognize him because he was in a few comedy movies in that. See, that's him.
Okay.
I want you to see him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen this guy before.
So you haven't seen this guy?
I've seen him before, but I haven't seen the image that one you're trying to show me specifically.
He did this in a year.
In a year? Oh, that's hard. That's a hard one, really.
Nope.
It's a hard one.
Do you know how old he is?
How old?
He's in his 40s for sure.
Oh, 50. Yeah. Maybe he was on a little bit of gear.
He's on gear. Look at him.
A little bit of gear. Yeah.
I don't think you can see the resolution.
Yeah. Well, one of the ideas that people look for, one of the things I tell people to look for that is a sign of steroid use is the size of their shoulders.
Shoulders and traps.
Yeah, shoulders and traps.
Androgen receptors.
Exactly, because when they actually inject steroids or into their body, they usually a lot of the time they do it at the shoulders, and they do it into the shoulders, and then that's
gotta hurt.
It does.
There's a lot of dense muscle in your deltoids.
Yeah, a lot of them they get really tight shoulder pains and all that, and then because you know it's right there, they're injecting it straight into it. So one of the things that people do when they take steroids is they try to not train shoulders as much. Do I think he might have taken some? Yeah, I reckon he took a little bit. That's not really one of the actors that I was talking about that knows on steroids. Like, let's say, for example, one of them who I know for a fact, The Rock. You want to tell me The Rock is natural?
Maybe Batista.
Maybe Batista. He's on a little bit of stuff. Yeah, I reckon he was on
a bit of TRT or something.
Stuff. Yeah, you know, he definitely took some gear. Who was another one that basically took?
Oh, so he's 42.
42. Yeah. The thing is, when you hit your 40s, right, you get used, you develop something called sarcopenia.
You start to lose.
Sarcopenia, that's it, Ren. Is with aging from the time you were born to around the time you turn 30, your muscles grow larger and stronger, but at some point in your 30s, you start to decrease blood flow to the muscles to keep the organs going. So it happens in your 30s, and you're 42.
You lose muscle fibers, which you actually can't build back.
Exactly.
After a certain period of time.
Heart's always going to choose sending blood to the organs first before the muscles. Exactly. It's the same thing what happens with cardiac drift. you know, the blood, and you, when you get to a point where you're almost at heat exhaustion because you stop sweating because the heart is only pumping blood to the organs, it's going to choose to pump to the organs, not first, rather than the skin for cooling via evaporation.
It's just, when I see a lot of these actors, like, you know, there are some actors out there that I would guess aren't on gear, but I wouldn't put it past them for taking something. If it's not Henry Cavill, if it's not
well, like Ryan
Reynolds or any of these other people. You know?
Well, like the saying goes, man, everybody's on steroids.
Yeah.
Everybody's on steroids, man.
Everybody's on steroids.
All right. Well, do you want to leave it there?
No, I want to go a little bit more.
You want to go a little bit longer?
Yeah, because, well, typically we do an hour podcast, but I like to go a little bit longer because...
Okay.
Why? Well, to be... Why not? Why not?
Actually, oh, as I said, I have somewhere to be.
We can go a little bit longer, just a tiny bit. So,
all right, mate, you call it that. So I'll call it today.
Yeah, I'll call it. So what I wanted to bring up was some movies that we liked. And I wanted to bring up two movies I want to quickly mention because we're movie geeks to some degree.
Yeah.
Tenet and Black Widow. Mm-hmm. So Tenet, that looked really good.
Robert Pattinson, he's made a massive comeback lately.
Robert Pattinson, is he in Tenet or is he in
Batman? He's in Tenet, yeah.
He's in Batman as well.
Yeah, he's a new Batman, yeah. Here's the thing that people are worried about when it comes to Batman. The issue that people have when they go there is, well, the issue that people have when it comes to Batman is that apparently Robert Pattinson did not work out during COVID. He refused to.
Interesting point. He said, you know, I don't really want to work out, whereas...
He refused to.
Like, there are some actors that really go towards the role so hard, like Christian Bale, who also played Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It is a shame to see because Batman is known for not just his intellect, but his physical capacity, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's not going to look like a slob, right? He's probably going to look like a skinny...
No,
skinny. How old
no.
is he?
I don't want to see him be skinny at all. Like, Batman is meant to be like...
He's meant to be ripped as.
Yeah, the pinnacle of human.
He's meant to be like kind of the maximum that you can be pushed.
Yes.
Right? Where
yes.
Functional, just kind of like functional power.
Mm-hmm.
Meant to be more martial art based. I think, who was it that played in Batman and Superman? I'm blanking on his name.
Ben Affleck.
I thought he was brilliant. I thought he played a really good
me too.
Tired Batman that was
rugged, you know what I mean? But he was still
maybe a little bit of psychological damage,
yeah,
and things like that. It was meant to come at that kind of... I'd love to see him go back to the role, right? I'm definitely excited about Batman, but it's weird to see that some actors like Christian Bale and Ben Affleck, they got ripped as for Batman, but then the guy that gets passed the torch as the next custodian of Batman doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just was like, nah, I don't really feel like it. I don't really want to be pushed to that degree. Well, there's the guy that you were talking about before, Ant Middleton. He'd be a brilliant Batman. Although he's not an actor, mm-hmm. he's an SAS dude, but you know, he's one of those guys that would look, you know, he looks like a soldier. He looks like a Batman.
How? But I didn't think of that. You could do
it. Never thought of it that way. I question acting skills because he is an ex-AS dude, but wouldn't have to teach him martial arts, wouldn't have to teach him any combat. He could do all the stunts himself. And I'm pretty sure he'd be the one to put his hand up to become Batman. Yeah. We got a little bit off topic, but Tenet. What were you thinking about Tenet?
Well, I like it because, well, one, it's Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan made the Batman, the Dark Knight series. So right off the bat, he's made some incredible movies. He's made Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm.
He's made Inception. Mm-hmm. He's one of those. He made that, what movie called? 1917.
Mm-hmm. He makes brilliant films.
I think he made 1917. Yeah. He makes, like, he's one of those directors. They make few films a year, like one to two, or assist in one to two, but they are always hits. this guy does not miss at all. He's that intelligent. He's that focused when it comes to his movies. So therefore, and they always sell out, and they always make smash the box office.
Do we know when Tenet is coming out?
It's supposed to be out by. It was supposed to be out so earlier.
So it's actually showing here the 22nd. So it should be next week. Next week they should be showing this film.
Well, one of the movies that they were supposed to be out by now was the James Bond movie, the new one, No Time to Die. That was supposed to be out. Black Widow's supposed to be out as well.
That's a real shame about Black Widow, because that was supposed to come out ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so keen to see that one as well.
I think it's going to be good, man, because it's finally time that Black Widow's got her own movie. I mean, because Scarlett Johansson has been with the Marvel franchise for quite some time. You know, yeah, I mean, she was one of the original members of the Avengers, Black Widow.
She was in
she needs her own movie. Yeah.
I think she was in Iron Man 2.
She was. Onwards. That's when she first appeared on the scene.
So, it's good that she got her own standalone film.
Mm-hmm. It's set. I believe it's set.
I think it's before
the I think whole it's just Thanos. After. I think it's just like, after a Civil War.
I think, yeah, it's before the whole Thanos whole story.
Yeah, though. Because one of the theories that they had was the villain in the movie is Taskmaster, and Taskmaster copy anyone's fighting style, and he copied Captain America and Black Panther's fighting style. And Black Panther didn't show up till Civil War, so it's got to be post Civil War, pre Thanos, because there was an area after Civil War where they went into hiding. I think this is Black Widow going into hiding.
I think so too. Also, the hair as well, the hair as well. I think that lines up with how she looked in the first movie before Endgame.
Infinity War, she dyes her hair blonde. She cuts it short and dyes it blonde.
Does she?
Yeah, because she goes into hiding. Ugh.
So many hair changes. I lose them after a while. That looks like a brilliant movie as well. I really want to see the next phase of Marvel. I really do.
Do you reckon it'll be that good? I reckon Marvel's maxed out now. Because
never say never, because they have a lot of other people that they can bring up. They can bring up is it Galactus?
Yeah. Well, they're relying too much on Spider-Man right now. Remember that thing? They had that dispute with Sony about Spider-Man?
Dude, Tom Holland, man is getting paid.
He is getting paid
because they've brought him up to do the another set of Spider-Man films.
Oh, yeah.
After that whole thing with Sony and Marvel going on, you know, ragdolling Tom Holland about. But you know, they are relying a lot on that Spider-Man movie, and I think they're pushing a lot onto the Black Widow and Spider-Man and things like that. And possibly the Doctor Strange.
Oh, yes.
Madness. Is it Madness in the Multiverse?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. Yeah, Madness in the Multiverse.
They're going to put a lot of pressure on these guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what Marvel's going to make. Would it be Phase 4 or Phase 5? Phase 5? I think it's Phase 5 that they would be producing. I don't know where Marvel really goes from here. I think they could bring Fantastic Four or something in.
Let me see if I can get up the timeline.
It's difficult because some of them are a bit fake as well. Also, Guardians of the Galaxy, that got pushed back after there was an issue with the director.
Mm-hmm. So we got Black Widow, we got the Eternals, we got Wonder and Vision. I think that's a Disney Plus TV show. Oh, so this is Disney Plus. We got Loki, Hawkeye, and we got
really milking it, aren't they?
Yeah, we got the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Shang-Chi, that's one, and the Legend of the Ten Rings, that's something, that's the one that everyone's sort of counting on. Strange, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. But the one thing that I'm not looking forward to is Thor, Love and Thunder.
Really, why is that?
Because Jane Foster is going to be the new Thor. Because that's what they did in the comics. That's what everyone thinks. Because in the comics, there was a controversial moment where they made Thor Jane Foster. It's like a what-if moment with Jane and, I don't know,
that might be in What If.
Yeah, because in For Love and Thunder, what they did was, at Comic Con, they had Jane, what's the name of the woman who plays as Jane Foster? I can't remember the actress. She was holding Thor's hammer. Natalie Portman, that's it. They had Natalie Portman, a photo of her like raising Thor's hammer. So immediately everyone thought, oh, Jane Foster's going to become Thor. And Natalie Portman actually hates Marvel.
Really?
Yeah, she hates Marvel. She just had a bad time filming with them. You know, filming with Marvel is not easy.
Wasn't that why she wasn't in one of the films?
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
I think that you were telling me that the reason why she wasn't in that film.
It's because she just had a bad deal with Marvel. It's not easy being in a Marvel movie, man. Even Idris Elba, he hates Marvel. The reason why he hates Marvel was, well, not hates, but the reason why he didn't like making Marvel movies is because at the time he was filming a movie. I remember he was filming two movies back to back. One of the movies was about Nelson Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. And
which is a very important movie for a lot of people, especially coming, you know, especially a lot of coloured people as well as, a lot of South African heritage as well.
And he was making a Thor movie at the time. I can't remember which one it was. But he said he hated it because he would literally walk into the set of, Nelson Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, and people would, like, praise him. They would literally call him Mandiba, which was the name that he was given at a time, basically. Mm-hmm. And then he'd walk on the set of Marvel and be like, yep, just go stand over there. We're going to put shit on your face. And he said he hated the juxtaposition between the two. So that's why he had a bad time.
I think so. Yeah.
And it makes sense, really, because you go from being the star of probably one of the important movies for your people, then going on to just being like an extra.
But to be honest, which one is he... From the get-go, which one is Albert going to actually be, happy with the praise the most? Is he going to care about this one Marvel movie that's an installment in a huge amount of series? Or is it going to be a really important thing about a real person who's an incredible human being as well as, a big role model for a lot of people of African heritage?
Here's the thing, though, about Marvel Phase 4 is I'm not really excited for any of this.
Oh, so it's Phase 4, not Phase 5. It's
Phase 4. I'm not really excited for much of this. The only two that really I would want to see are Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings, and Doctor Strange. That's it. That's all really I give a shit about.
Maybe the Fantastic Four.
Maybe.
But that's third time lucky making that. I like the first ones.
First ones weren't too bad.
I thought the first one was good. The Silver Surfer. Yeah. Because they had used Galactus in that, but he was a fart cloud?
Yeah. It was just a space cloud.
A fart cloud. He was a space fart.
And then there was a recent one that was made, 5-6 years ago? And it...
Oh, I never watched it. I might actually watch it just so I can shit on it.
I watched the first 20 minutes of it. No, like the first hour of it. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm turning this off.
I think it had good actors because it had that...
That's true. Michael B. Jordan. And had that Miles Teller.
Yeah. And he was in a boxing, he was in another boxing one film as well. I never watched it. But
Bleed for this.
But you, brilliant, you know, brilliant. You know, movie. Said, you know, they had good actors. I think the writing was so poor, though.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was very poor. I haven't seen it yet. I actually want to watch it now just so I can take a big dump on it.
It's like one of those movies that collects cobwebs now at the back of a video store.
Most. I think from the get go, it wasn't received well. Yeah. All right, so. That was brilliant, dude. That was a really good podcast.
All right.
If you guys want to check out any of our social media, you can find us at The Last Set Podcast, where we post regular stuff on IGTV and things like that. We're available on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. You should just look it up at The Last Set Podcast. We do MMA Hour and Everyday Hour, usually one or two times a week. Four would be way too much.
No.
1 to 2 times a week. We were actually meant to do a Q&A today. I totally forgot.
I barely got much of a response. I got a few questions.
I got a few questions.
But not enough to base a whole hour on.
There was a lot of people saying hi and things like that. We had one thing which was, I don't know what the person said. What's the craziest thing you've done for love? Like, this is so off brand.
This is not something we want to say on camera.
No. There's a bit more private stuff, and it's like,
yeah, and we'll do a Q&A a little bit more further down the line.
Maybe even an Instagram live. We probably could do an Instagram live on a podcast. That would be cool to do.
We get a phone and just set it up
That's what I was thinking. I think we could do that in the future.
All right.
Oh,
guys, don't forget, there will be no... Usually we film on a Sunday. There will be no episode this Sunday because we will be featuring on...
Yeah, we'll be doing it. We'll be filming and posting it on the Monday, the day after the UFC 252, which is Daniel Cormier versus Stephen Miocic. But the reason why we're not uploading on that day is because we previously mentioned that we're going to be collaborating with the For a Laugh podcast, which is Daniel Aid and Connor Hannum. So we're going to be doing that, and that'll be really fun. So that's going to be four of us. I think we're all just going to talk shit, have a lot of fun. I'm really excited, aren't you?
I'm very, very excited, man. Like, what is it? 6 weeks in, we're doing our first collaboration.
So this is our first collaboration, and not just like with just anyone. It's with a fellow podcast. So, and they've been in the game a lot longer than us. So there's probably a lot of things we can pick their brain about.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it. So, guys, tune in. I don't know when they're going to release it, but it's going to be filmed on Sunday.
Yeah, and we'll send out all their links and all their information so you can check that out. So if you want to subscribe to their channel, you should find them at For a it's the For a Laugh podcast on YouTube. I think you can find them on Anchor and, you know, Apple Podcasts and Spotify and things like that. Other than that, guys, thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll see you next week.
All right, take care, guys. All the best.
Peace. Bye-bye.